This is Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com, episode 160, Linz's Imaginary Friend.
She's real!
A lot of fun going to the Great Escape Room.
Those
people that were set up across from us at the convention last week got a couple free tickets, a couple, you know, other discounted tickets from all you lovely people in this room.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Not me.
I couldn't sell that puzzle though because I'm a moron.
All I'm going to say is it was an experience and it was a lot of fun. Being confused at first, like, there's so much to do and see, and that's all I'm going to say. I mean, there's puzzles in the room to try to escape. And finding everything hidden and how the puzzles go together. There was 8 of us, and then there's 2 other random people, because when you sign up, you'll get signed with other groups to make it a full room. Because one person trying to figure out to escape the room, that ain't happening.
You would still be in there.
Yes.
Yes.
And obviously we somehow solved it because we got out. I mean, it's not like they let us out if we don't solve it. So we eventually had to do that.
So you could die in there?
I think so.
No, do you have to sign a waiver?
Yes, actually you do.
Yeah?
Yep, to not reveal the secrets. Oh. And so that's why I can't go too much in-depth. But if wherever you're at, look if they have escape room. I've seen on this website down in Florida, around D.C. area, Michigan area, a couple other states that are getting involved in this. We did the Sherlock one, Sherlock Holmes one. We got Sherlocked in.
That's punny.
That was bad.
Yes. And it was a great time. So did that, did some karaoke, and did some disc golfing.
Nice.
It was an all around good Saturday.
What was your go-to karaoke song?
My go-to karaoke song, which is Killers, either it's all these things that I've done, or Mr. Brightside. They didn't have them. How did they not have 2 of the fucking best songs ever? So I did Bloodhound Gang, Bad Touch.
Nice.
We did some Backstreet Boys.
Sing it now.
I don't want to sing it now.
Do you remember that Bloodhound Gang CD when it first came out?
Hooray for Boobies?
Yeah, how the center had the insert tongue to simulate nipple.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I'm picturing Derek now, like, standing just in the mirror.
Tongue-punching a CD. Yeah. Great.
His first girlfriend. What are you doing?
Many an hour were spent in front of a mirror.
Learned it on a CD. Oh, man. Okay, so, anyways, that was my fun weekend day.
Right on.
Did you do anything fun?
We went to Sanchez. Had some fucking
bomb-ass paella?
Sangria. No, paella.
Shenanigans.
Any Caraco?
All the Caraco.
No, and then we went and ate at the Donkey, which was fun.
That's a good place.
Yeah.
Still
haven't been there. Margaritas are the shit there, and so are the tacos. Now I just want tacos.
Derek, what about you?
I went to the Tigers game last night for my friend's bachelor party.
Ooh.
They lost because they suck.
Why the fuck is with the Tigers? They do great, and then
shitty management.
Not a sports podcast, you guys.
I know.
This also isn't the reminiscing weekend podcast.
Yeah, no, I know, but no, they're just bad. We had standing room tickets, and we just kind of chilled at one of the balconies by a bar. That was pretty cool. But then we kind of wandered through downtown Detroit. We didn't get stabbed, even though we walked 2 miles clear across downtown Detroit at midnight.
All right,
so I have all my normal holes and not any extras, which is good. And then I went fishing this morning, so I only slept 2 hours. So I am a goddamn zombie right now.
So his review is going to be awesome.
Yeah, yes. It's going to be sweet.
As
so,
mine.
Yeah, let's get into reviews since we are about comic books.
Yeah, drunk on comics.
Yes,
yeah.
And not just
drunk
who we
on
are and what we do.
Getting locked in rooms, watching Tigers games and not getting stabbed, and eating tacos.
So, Derek, let's hear what you got for a review, because
Well, so I kind of suck and didn't read anything new that came out this week, but I did.
How did you not read anything?
I was busy.
Did
you
at least pick up?
You know,
your
it
books?
Takes like 10 minutes to read a comic book.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I was busy, but I finally got to one I picked up last week, which I thought was a ridiculous crossover. So I kind of wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
It was the Star Trek Green Lantern Spectrum War number one. I didn't have the book here because I came right off the boat from fishing, but I found all the pertinent information. Mike Johnson was the writer on it, and Angel Hernandez is the artist. Pretty ridiculous how they managed to get this to work. It starts out with Ganthet, one of the Guardian guys, running from what I guess is presumably Necron, who has conquered the universe.
Okay.
And he's going to kill him. So he's running with a handful of like the last of one of each color ring, and then somehow teleports himself into another universe.
Oh.
Which is
where the Star Trek people are, and they find his corpse like on a planet and beam down to it and find all the rings.
Oh, so wait, now the Star Trek people have rings?
So, yes, that is where it gets fun. Like they find it and start running tests, and they activate them, and they go start seeking people out. Like a yellow one goes to a Klingon that was going to, I know. Yellow one goes to a Klingon that was rolling up on him to kill him. And like Uhura is a Star Sapphire.
Oh,
and
all right. I'm
trying to remember. God, I don't have it in front of me.
Did they
but
have a black ring, too?
They did not.
Okay.
No black or white, but the standard. Because I presume Necron will somehow come over into this universe and try to start some shit. But Hal Jordan apparently was also in this universe because the green ring went to him. And he shows up at the end of the issue.
Okay. Oh, well, okay. So is this like a new Earth future Hal Jordan?
You know, I don't know. He was in, like, just appeared out of space, and there's Hal Jordan. And you're like, oh, all right, I guess this works.
Did he transport through time, or...
Hey, it's question time again. Great.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, he just appeared. I guess there was in this, like...
A different alternative.
I think it's a multiverse thing where there were some Star Trek people, and, you know... It's natural being, like, exploring space, Green Lantern,
right.
Green Protectors of Space. It kind of works. I mean,
there
have been more ridiculous crossovers
yes.
in the past. So
yes, that is true.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun. I think it's a 5-issue run that they're going to do.
Instead of Uhura, so is, like, the original cast then, not Next Generation?
Yeah, it's the original, like,
so
but
Kirk,
they look...
Kirk and Spock. And...
They went off of, like, the new movie cast. Like, they all look like their characters in there, so
okay.
It's like... Simon Pegg and his little weird friend are there.
Gotcha.
He's hilarious.
Okay, now I'm trying to think, though, what ring could Spock use?
He didn't get one yet.
Well, I know he didn't get one yet, but just imagine Spock, like, because he's not really fearful. Like, he's all logic.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think, like, maybe willpower, because that's logic. But then I think Will, with why Hal Jordan's so good, is... His imagination, which
mm-hmm.
I don't feel Spock has.
Yeah. The rings are just, they're ran by emotion.
Well, yeah, emotion. Yeah. So he would just.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I remember it, I think McCoy got a blue ring, which is all right. And I think Chekhov had, God, I can't remember which one he got, but he got one.
Do you remember who got a red ring?
I
almost think that the Klingon should have had the
red ring. Guess the Klingon got the yellow one. Or
well, I mean,
it was yellow
fearful.
Or orange, but it was kind of drawn in that. I'm sure it's going to be yellow.
Orange.
Seems more...
Oh, Kirk should have gotten orange.
Yeah.
All was... about me is my ship.
Me and banging all the space ladies I can find. Yeah. Awesome.
Is that how the... Well, I don't remember what the emotion is, but pretty much the one of love.
Love's
like...
the pink one, yeah, that's the Star Sapphires.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's Uhura, that's, you know.
Yeah, she's...
That's legit.
She made out with Kirk in the old TV show, you know, the interracial kiss, that was a big deal back in the day, so...
Yeah, she made out with Spock in the new...
Yeah, you know, she's just torn her way around the Enterprise, it's great.
The whole two people that she's kissed.
Yeah, that's enough. It's a small ship.
Well, that sounds like an awesome crossover series, so...
Yeah.
I'm glad you reviewed it. I was interested to see what the hell was behind
it. If you
guys
want to borrow it, I'll bring it, and you guys can check it out. It's entertaining. I have a bunch of friends that were like, I want to read that, and just because they're Star Trek fans. So
nobody actually really wants to buy it.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess I was the one that jumped on board for the ridiculousness. It was like, shit, yeah, this is dumb looking. I want this. This is going to be amazing. And then it was. Kind of like
nice.
Archie versus Predator, I bought that too because that was just absurd.
Oh, that was great though. I fucking love that series.
Like I've said, any of those weird crossovers that Archie does,
mm-hmm.
they are great. There was one, it was really funny, it was the Cloud of Thunder where it was like, it wasn't Marvel's Thor, but it was pretty much Thor and Asgard and stuff. That one today is still one of my favorite of the Archie things, and the Predator one is pretty sweet too.
Yeah, I like how it's a teenage Predator, so it fits right in.
Alright, I picked up Godzilla in Hell, number one, written by James Stokoe. And he not only came up with the story, he also did the art. So it's kind of awesome when you have that one person, I want to say pairing, but I guess it's not really pairing. That
No, because there's only one person. Yeah.
I was going to say that one person solo, team.
Yeah. Solo effort.
Yes. And this book was very interesting in of itself because it was pretty much all art. There was all but a couple words pretty much where it says the title of Godzilla's in Hell and a giant block that said, you know, all ye abandon all hope, all ye who enter.
So they Dante'd it? Nice.
What?
They went Dante on hell there?
Yes. Nice. And pretty much then Godzilla kind of just says, fuck that, and destroys, you know, the giant monolith there.
I mean, he's not exactly a wordsmith in the movies, so I guess the fact that it's all art kind of works.
That's the thing. Those were the only words, and there was a couple, like, small, like, words that, like, blast, like, zoom or whatever. But even the sound effects were very minimal on this. Mainly showing him charging up his blast and you know how it kind of goes up from his tail to his mm-hmm. head and then he glows and everything. Very, very visually stunning, and I really enjoyed it for that in of itself. And pretty much that's really the only thing you can really review about this book because the story is pretty simple. It's Godzilla in hell.
But they don't tell you why.
How did he go to hell? He killed some people, and maybe that's what happened. But
he just, well, like,
did he die and go to hell, or did he just like that's invade what I don't know, hell?
Because how do you? Yeah, I would assume that he just burrowed in the ground and then fell to hell.
Maybe he found the gateway to hell under the sea.
Yes. What? Wait, do that again?
Under the sea.
It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger singing Little Mermaid song.
Well, no, the first pages are showing him falling and falling through rock and falling through what looks like a hole that was opened up there. So you assume that's Earth while looking up and seeing him falling down and then him just falling in this giant crater. So he fell to hell and it didn't explain anything before that. And it's not like he's really talking to say, oh, shoot, like I just came down here. But one of the most interesting things of it is hell, which I guess is kind of representative from your life, seeing the giant like nuclear factory made out of like, you know, stone and everything, that to give it a more of a semblance of, okay, this is Godzilla, nuclear, he's going to try to find some radiation to eat and have some food, and then, oh, monsters, you know, and that's where hell being a place full of demons, full of everything, that's, you know exactly what's going to be happening in this book. Godzilla is going to be fighting giant demon monsters. In this one in particular, he fights his, I want to say like Dark Link. Like anytime you play like a video game, there's always your
Mega
evil half.
Godzilla.
Yeah. Except this thing was fucking
nice.
Badass. Like the drawings of him, he just looks like a Godzilla that's got some scars. But then he fucking like opens up like a face hugger, like with like all these other like mouse, and it was freaky, crazy, awesomely, horrifyingly looking Cthulhu-ish. Fuck that.
Like a hell monster.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Hell monster.
I feel like this is the perfect opportunity to say vagina, as per usual, because he did what kind of like little vaginas on him. Yeah.
With teeth, I don't know teeth what vaginas, vaginas you've
vagina
seen,
dentata.
Oh, God.
Gross.
That movie broke me.
Moving on.
And ultimately, you know, the battle goes down, and you know Godzilla's going to win, because otherwise, you know, where's the book going to go? And this is the confusing part of it. Like, how he wins was pretty badass. Not going to give that away. But then the Earth kind of starts, you know, coming up from underneath him and starts, like, kind of eating him, and he's getting pulled into the Earth. And then you get that first scene that you saw in the beginning of him falling down from the sky down, you know, a shaft to
the next layer of hell.
Yeah, next layer of hell. Now, this was a great book in of itself, just watching it, seeing it going down. I hope not all the issues are silent, because I want to have some backstory. I need to know, why is he in hell? And I hope the next one will have some sort of narration. I hope maybe, too, that, you know, it's not just every single time he's fighting, you know, a demon monster. Like, somehow, maybe he has his little, like, you know, dead Tokyo friend in hell that he has to try to help get out. I mean, I don't know where this whole book could go to. Obviously, I'm picking it up for giant monster fights, but I feel like it needs to have a little more context to make me want to come back. But I obviously am, because it was fucking sweet the first round. Just hoping they'll be a little bit different in the long run. But
right on.
Godzilla in Hell is one hell of a book.
Oh.
Very nice.
Yes.
That's a nice wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Oh, yeah.
Tony. Well, I picked up Book of Death. It's a Valiant book. It's my very first Valiant book, you guys.
Really?
It is, yes. So,
first off, I want to say with Valiant, I see shit on Valiant, and maybe it's just because I've liked them for a while, but on Facebook, oh, I see shit from them all the time, and them, and they're making movies out of their characters. That's going to be a property that we see all these superhero movies, DC, you know, Marvel, but the characters that Valiant has made, so fucking interesting, and really the only one that most people would know off the top of their head is Exo Manowar.
Right.
But they have so many other ones that this book in particular, Book of Death, I started thinking, fuck, are they going to start dying?
Well, okay, so having not read any Valiant books before, like, I know they're trying to create a universe mm-hmm. in Valiant, kind of like Marvel and DC, but better. So I went into this not knowing anything about any of these characters. So they give you actually a nice little
bio.
Character guide at the very beginning, so you know who all of these people are, because this is not, I mean, it follows the Eternal Warrior. He's like the main character in this one, and then he's got this little girl with her named Tama, the Geomancer. She's from the future. But it's got Exo Manowar in it. It's got Ninjax in it. It's got Livewire in it. So I didn't know anything about these characters. But it was still really good, and it introduced them in a way to me that I could just get on board and not be super confused about what was going on in the entire Valiant universe. Like, you don't have to read every single book in the Valiant universe to go after this one, which was nice. But I picked it up mainly because, well, Book of Death just sounds like it would be a cool story, but the cover I grabbed is beautiful. Yeah, it's like on super thick paper, and it's like half shiny, half dull. It just looks like a legit painted work of art. So
that was kind of what really brought you into
it.
It is.
The shininess.
Yeah, well, just the how pretty it is. And I mean, there were like four or five different variant covers for this one. This one definitely is the one that did it for me, though. But anyway, like I said, it follows the Eternal Warrior. He's him and Tama, the Geomancer. They're running from the good guys. They're running from the bad guys. He is trying to protect her because he thinks she is the key to saving their world. Because, you know, he's lived forever. He's the Eternal Warrior, so he knows that some shit is going to be going down here soon. So apparently he thinks she's the key to stopping whatever's supposed to happen.
Now, before you get in a little bit more, have they talked anything about Unity?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and that's what he's, because he used to be part of Unity, mm-hmm. right? And they're chasing after him.
Okay.
Because wherever they go, all of this bad shit keeps happening. She's a Geomancer, so she has control over, like, nature and
geography.
Stuff like that.
She makes some sweet maps.
So like the third page in this is just a bunch of bodies impaled on trees. It's it's kind of badass looking.
And
but
books are made from paper, which come from trees. Book of Death. Oh my gosh, we solved it.
You're an idiot. But everywhere they go, stuff like this keeps happening. So they think it's this little girl is just, they're just going around murdering people, and they don't know why. In fact, it is this other Geomancer, because supposedly Geomancers are like Highlanders. There can be only one. And because she's from the future, she's kind of upset that nature, because now there's two. And the current times Geomancer is being controlled by this very evil person who is undisclosed at this point, but they're the ones that are causing all the havoc that's going on, that they're tying back to these people. But the Eternal Warrior and Tama end up in the middle of the desert in a house, and they are getting attacked by, they don't know what, but all these bugs and scorpions and stuff start showing up and attacking them. And then Unity shows up, and they're going after the Eternal Warrior and Tama, too. So the Unity, the part of Unity that shows up is Ninjax, Livewire, and Exo Manowar. So
Ninjax is, so he's one of my favorite ninjas.
He is definitely, well, he's definitely like that smart ass character, which I think every book needs, kind of like that funny, serious person. So the book ends with Ninjax, you know, attacking the Eternal Warrior. And the Eternal Warrior is like, okay, this is how it's going to go. So you're going to bleed next. And he takes, you know, like the attack stance that they do at the end of most books where, you know, there's going to be a fight in the next one. But it was really good. It made me want to read more about all of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
So what Valiant is doing, I think, is amazing because these characters are way more interesting and their backstories are so different than like Marvel or DC, you know, stuff that they have going on. And there's not a whole, Valiant's been around for a while, right?
Yep.
So they've got,
and they've been adding new characters. Yeah. They've been doing a lot more. I feel that their world just feels more real. Like the consequences,
right,
are, you know, will stick to, they aren't going to just have a resurrection. And if they did, it'd be in a creative way that they're not going to just kill off characters, bring them back. Maybe one character could get resurrected somehow.
Right.
It's very a really well written just publishing company,
yeah,
and how they have,
yeah,
stuff.
Then and the way they're tying their universe together, I think, is really good. This one was written by Robert Venditti, and the art was by Robert Gill and Doug Braithwaite. I don't know where the separation between the two are. I don't know if one did half and the other one did the other half, or
so pretty
or
much
what,
the art was seamless, like you couldn't tell.
Right. Okay. Right, so where one starts, and then I don't know if they just worked on it together or what, but it's really good art, and the colors are great, too, and that was, the two people did the colors, too, David Barron and Brian Reber, so there must be a point in this book where they switch, but you cannot tell. And the cover that I love so much, I can't remember her name, my silent hetero life mate that's here with me, Angela, looked it up. You can't hear her because she's silent. But
stop,
she is really
stop,
here.
Stop lying to listeners. You have no friends.
Shut up. You guys like me. Jelena.
I gotta tell you something.
Only for an hour a week.
Fuck you guys. Jelena Kevik-Jerjevic is her name. I hope I pronounced that right. She's German. It's a very Russian-sounding name, but apparently she's from Germany. So her cover was great. I hope to see more stuff from her in the future. So that's it. I'm going to read all of them. Tony, you can borrow them.
No, I want to.
You're going to buy them? You
want to
buy this one?
I own a lot of Valiant books. I'll let you borrow them. So
sweet.
We have first for
deal.
For that.
Yeah. Yes. Right on. So that's it for that.
All right. Well, any news that anyone saw? I mean, there was maybe that convention that was going on last week.
Oh, you mean GR The Great Bit that we went to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Any other news that came from that?
We had fun.
They raised lots of money for charity?
Yeah, I wish I did find the tally for how much they did raise, but
I thought they were still working on that.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
Well, I know that's so. That's, yeah. I wish that they had that number for us.
For us right now?
Yeah.
We did our part, so.
Yeah.
There was that other little one that happened, I think, in San Diego. Does that sound familiar? San Diego Comic Con, I think.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
That is like a media expo.
Nobody goes to things called expos.
True. No, we did last week briefly touch on some of the news that came from there, but just because of how huge that show is and the amount of knowledge they pour on our nerd brains, we, you know, had to shift through some of that and find out some more stuff, such as, okay, we talked about the Evil Dead trailer, which fucking looks great, and then the Batman vs. Superman trailer. They actually, like, this was, it felt like if we could title anything, it was the year of the superhero trailers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad? That was originally, well, here's the thing that reading up on it, it got leaked, which everything there is going to get leaked. Oh, yeah, if they don't understand now with cell phones, they are just being naive executives throwing these things out. But as Warner Brothers said, we're deeply disappointed that someone leaked this footage. It was supposed to be, you know, a private, you know, specialty for the people that attended the show. And a lot of people were like, no, an exclusive, you know, exclusivity. Yes, that word.
All right, there you go.
Would be, you know, handing out like a lightsaber or doing something else, like a trailer.
Really? That somebody else is going to see in like a week anyway.
That's what you gave us for, you know, exclusivity.
Thanks.
That,
exclusivity.
Yeah.
It's a new Tony word. I like it.
So, with that being said, you know, other people around the world are saying, why not, sure, show it there, but knowing you're going to be releasing this 2 weeks later and don't, like, frown on the people that released it. Now, that being said, dissecting it, it looks pretty badass.
I'm not mad at it.
There are two things, though, that I'm not mad at it. I'm just upset about it, but I just sometimes need to let things go.
Right. They're not the comic books.
I wish Harley Quinn's voice was like Harley Quinn's voice.
Yeah, I wish that they would have given her more lines to really tell whether she's got that awesome Jersey accent. It doesn't sound like she does.
No, and that's where, I mean, she looks badass, and from what the scenes are, it seems like she will be. But that's an iconic part of her.
That'd
be
it
like
is.
Bruce Wayne not like talking like this. Rachel, you don't have Bruce Wayne talking like this, guys. That's part of his character. So with that being said, her voice, I feel, just needs to be that. And then the second thing, which has been talked about multiple times, is Jared Leto.
Joker grill?
Yes. Yeah. It did look like they took away the tattoo on his forehead, which...
Really? I thought that was still there.
From what I rewound the thing a couple of times. I didn't see on his forehead. I saw the J on his side.
Okay.
I mean, that was the most glaring of, like, you can't look beyond this giant forehead tattoo. So, and then I guess if it is in there, then that's one other thing I want to bitch about.
Did you see the thing online where someone has a theory that Joker is actually Jason Todd?
Really?
Yeah. There's this whole, like, long rundown thing because of the J could have been for Jason and all sorts of nonsense.
Well, breaking down the trailer a little bit more, there's the part where it shows Batman, like Harley Quinn was in a car and Batman, which my brother brought up. Well, that's obviously going to be a flashback. That's probably of how she got captured, because if she's part of the Suicide Squad now, she's part of this hero team, why would Batman be going after her? Which then he brought up of, you have Joker in this movie, but Joker has never been one to be part of the Suicide Squad. I know that they've written him a couple times, but I can see Harley, who would have maybe a little more, I don't know, not smartness, but like not craziness to her.
Well, she's a psychiatrist. Yeah, so like, but so she's got brains in her.
I can never in any world whatsoever fathom Joker ever saying, okay, this is something I want to do to help out. He's incapable.
I don't think he's in the Suicide Squad in this
that's
movie.
I think that's all a flashback to her.
Or I think he's the villain.
I don't know if he's the villain, because that would be really I think it's part of Harley's backstory, which is, you know, throwing one of those red herrings of, like, he's going to be in it. But if he somehow is part of the main team, I don't see how the Joker could ever work with those people.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things my brother brought up. I go, okay, have him a little bit, but not too much. There's another cool thing I saw online of, like, there's the many different faces of the Joker. There's, you know, the clown. There's the mobster. There's, you know, the psychopath. And that's what this one is.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So going on from there, if you guys had anything else to
say. I'm apprehensive about Jared Leto as the Joker. This didn't make me more apprehensive, but it didn't really make it any better either. So, I mean, his voice was cool. I liked his Joker voice. It was very Heath Ledger. Yeah. Reminiscent, but
he's not Mark Hamill.
He is not Mark Hamill. That is fair.
No, I was gonna try to attempt it, but
no, it's so good.
Heroes Reborn had a huge panel, and that's something I think I'm looking forward to that more than most of these movies. Only in the sense of because I can get more from it. It's a TV show, so...
You hope.
I hope it's a TV show. I mean, no, you I'm hope sure you can get more is, from but, it. Yeah. No, just hearing what they're doing, they're taking... They're not rebooting it. They're saying it's 5 years after the original happened. They are going to talk about if... Did you guys all see the whole series then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. For those that are now catching up to watch this thing, there's a freak show slash a Magneto guy that kind of does rocks, and I felt that he was supposed to embody, you know, the whole Magneto, we're right, and everything. And at the end, the cheerleader decides to jump off the top of that and pretty much show everyone they are heroes, they are mutants, they are these things, which they now call Evos because can't say mutant, but whatever, they're evolved humans. So now we are in a world of evolved humans and people being tracked, and that in and of itself is always just a great kind of storyline of the cool, awesome powers being hunted. I mean, that would suck if we lived in a world... I want superpowers, but if I got hunted every day...
That would not be fun.
No, it wouldn't be. So yeah. So that was pretty awesome. Any other trailers or anything else that you guys saw there?
There was that little Deadpool
one. Oh, my God. It looked so good.
That was... I mean, it... Finally, after bastardizing Deadpool for so long, and especially with that X-Men Origins Wolverine piece of trash that came out, finally getting the character to be like in the comic book is amazing.
Yes, and how well that looked, and just him, when he made some of the jokes when he was on the table, like, please don't make my suit green.
Or animated.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, pretty much poking fun at some of those other movies, which I hope that's littered throughout the thing. The biggest thing... Talking about how DC then, after that trailer was leaked, then officially leaked the trailer, Ryan Reynolds went on to Twitter saying, sorry guys, I wish we totally could give you guys the trailer, but it's actually not done. He goes, we still have some, you know, special like effects
stuff. CG stuff, yeah.
That what everyone saw there was an unfinished trailer. If we release it now, it's going to not be the greatest trailer it is. Wait 3 weeks. Holy shit, that's an explanation that I can get behind. Mm-hmm. I will rewatch this leak trailer enough to be like, I'm sold. And then when the other one comes out, I'm going to be like, why isn't this here now?
So good looking. And yeah. The fact that it's rated R, I think, is fantastic.
I was really worried. They said it was supposed to be PG-13 when they first announced it. It would be a terrible movie if it was PG-13.
No, my friend Matt brought this up, and he said... The highest grossing R-rated movie of all time is The Passion of the Christ. How awesome would it be if Deadpool beat that?
Deadpool versus
Just think
Jesus.
Of where that went and how many people would riot and rage.
That'd be
how
a
hilarious
great crossover comic.
Exactly.
Deadpool versus Jesus.
They both
can't of them
die.
Live forever.
That's terrible. Another trailer that was kind of leaked and it hasn't officially been, but it's gotten a lot more flack over than the Joker looking Joker-ish is X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, and that wasn't even a trailer. Those were just images, yeah?
No, there was the trailer.
Was there a trailer?
That's also leaked as well. And that's where a lot of the images have come from, and that's why they've started releasing
I know,
these.
Like, Entertainment Weekly did a spread and showed some of the pictures that were, like, the high... I've never been more excited and upset at the same time. Like, ooh, Psylocke looks like Psylocke. I hate Aaron Rodgers right now. Sports again. But... But yeah, and then Apocalypse looking like Ivan Ooze, as you pointed out.
He, like, out of any of them, they could have had their liberties to, with whatever they're doing. Like, how Storm looks like she has kind of a mohawk, but, like, not really. Her side of her head shaved, but it's not straight up in a mohawk. What they're doing with the Four Horsemen and who they are, it being different from the books and everything that we've read. But really, you fuck up on Apocalypse, the main person of this thing. It's uncanny.
Yeah, he looks like Mr. Freeze and Ivan Ooze had an awkward, terrible love child.
Yes, it is so terrible that I want their whole special effects team to go back and...
Just re-go over it with special
and
effects.
And that his powers are mind control. Sorry, but I thought he always had molecular structure, can grow big, can do whatever, can kind of shapeshift. Like, he's just all-around badass, not listen to me, I'm Professor Xavier Light.
Yeah, and the whole thing with Apocalypse, like in the comic books, is like he convinced these people to join him. He didn't like mind control them to become his horsemen. He was like, you are going to be awesome if you become a horseman of mine. And they're all like, sign me up.
Yeah. In the trailer that I at least saw that was leaked online, you know, some interactions with people. Forget the girl's name, but who's playing Jean.
Chick from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And everything looked great. The one person that I did not spot throughout the whole thing, though, was Archangel. And he's the one that I've seen still pictures of that looks fucking badass. Like, so, I don't know. I still have hopes for the movie, and even that it's going to be different horsemen and everything.
Yeah.
I just really want to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to kind of like try to block him out and
just imagine cool looking normal Apocalypse over the top of
yeah,
bad looking Apocalypse.
One other funny thing about the trailer, when throughout the week looking at news, I was trying to find out other things that came from San Diego Comic-Con, and I went to this website that said leaked trailer, so I'm like, sweet, I can watch this. And I'm starting to watch it, and I'm like, all right, okay, yep, I thought this was scenes at the end of, you know, Days of Futures Past, but maybe it's a little extended, so they're reusing a little bit of that. And then I'm like, wait, freaking Halle Berry is Storm again? Like, I don't remember that part. And all it is like this voiceover of Professor X talking, and I'm just like kind of confused until all of a sudden I start seeing, when they're showing Egypt parts, shit from Stargate. And I go, that's Stargate, dude. Like, that is not fucking, what the fuck is going on with this? So then I started reading, like, the comments, and they're like, this website fucking sucks. Really, this is not even close to it. This has parts from all the X-Men movies, the extra extended scene from, you know, Futures Past and Stargate and a couple other things. Like, they're like, whoever put this together...
You mean the internet lied to you?
It did, and I was sad. And then I was pissed off because all these... But this website should have, you know, they were just getting clickbait. They were people are coming here. Yeah. Luckily, someone in the comments then linked to the real one, and that's how I was able to find it.
Okay, I'll have to look for it.
I was like thinking, oh, sweet, there's a Stargate cross. Wait a minute, I've seen this before. What the fuck? So,
did you really think there was going to be a Stargate X-Men crossover?
Apocalypse? Like, what are you?
That'd be badass, though. I mean, I do love me some Stargate.
Stargate's pretty awesome.
Right on.
Marvel has always done multiple series of what ifs, taking that idea of something and saying what if to something else. And the newest one is going to be Infinity, which came out a year ago, I think, with Thanos invading Earth, the Builders coming, kind of setting up this whole, you know, cataclysmic thing of Secret Wars. And this is going to be the what if Infinity, as if Thanos decided to help, instead of invading Earth, to join back and push back. And I'm kind of sick of these what-ifs because they really don't do much difference. They used to be one contained comic book. I remember back in the day, those what-ifs were really awesome. One of my favorite is, what if Silver Surfer got the Infinity Gauntlet? And how awesome that was. Normally, they all turn worse than what they could have been.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few, you know, gold nuggets in there where it actually would have turned better if something would have been different. This one, I'm actually halfway excited for because it's revolving around Thanos. But then again, I'm kind of just like, Marvel, stop.
Well, and it's a like a legit what-if comic. It's not like a battle world.
No, this is going to, because it's coming out after that, and it's a miniseries. That's what they've done now.
Well, Age of Ultron was a what-if, wasn't it? Didn't they do an Age of Ultron what-if?
Yeah, they did an Age of Ultron one where, and then they did a AVX. Pretty much they've been doing these what-ifs now of all their events and not just individual stories. So, something else we could have said when we were talking about Deadpool is he's going to be teaming up with Spider-Man for an ongoing series. So, I mean, not just...
He always does want to be his best friend, so...
I know. Well, they are both, like... the same except for opposite.
Yeah.
Well, that was my favorite. So I watched the Ultimate Spider-Man animated series that they and they had a Deadpool one, and it's on my DVR still. I just fucking watched that thing over and over and over again. It was hilarious.
You know, the part where he goes, you know, booby traps. That you said
you said traps.
Yeah, you said traps.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll be interesting. But Deadpool's also doing a one with Thanos, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's just teaming up. He's a team up whore right now. I guess he always has been.
Well, with the movie coming out, you know, you try to throw as much shit against the wall and see what sticks.
That's true.
You
know? That's
make those dollars.
Have you guys read Multiversity?
Nope.
Nope.
Oh, you guys should. Grant Morrison's epic DC, you know, omniverse type thing was interesting, and especially with how the books were kind of self-contained, but there was an overall story, even involving Earth Prime. I actually got into it, and it was really good for me to learn more about what's going on in the DC multiverse. And now they are having Multiversity 2, T-O-O, just to say which two it is, okay. And not the number two as in the sequel to it, but right.
Also.
As well, yes.
Multiversity also.
Which is, it's going to be a new series written by him that is actually, it's going to explore one of the best books, and I forget which one it was. It was like number four in the series when the whole thing had, because it was cool how they had comic books within the comic books explaining the different worlds within the comic books.
It was...
Yes, yeah. And that one where it actually had this whole giant, like, awesome-looking chart of where the things are and having explanations of the different Earths and who comes from these Earths, and then you read them in the other books. This is obviously going to go into it, and there's seven of them that he didn't reveal what they were, obviously to kind of be able to shape them later on. So whether this actually... has more of that or not will be left to be seen. But I don't know.
Grant Morrison, that man does not, he must not sleep because he has got so much shit going on right now.
I feel like we talk about him every week.
We do. And it's all good. I mean, if he was doing all this stuff and it was all kind of shitty, then I could see it, but it's all good. Man's a fucking genius.
Another movie coming out, I mean, why not just keep talking about movies, is Green Lantern Corps. So,
Corps? Green Lantern Corps?
How would you say C-O-R-P-S?
Corps.
You would just leave the P silent.
Yes.
Do you like the Marine Corps?
Yeah, that's how you should pronounce it, people.
There's no E on the end.
Yeah, but it's not a corpse like that, it's just a...
Core.
It's corp.
The P is silent.
You say corn, core? No, it's got an N
there's
there.
There's not so a P there.
You pronounce the N in corn, you pronounce the P
I don't
in
know
corp.
Why we're listening to Tony for pronunciation of words.
Tony just makes up his own words 90% of the time.
So, anyways, it's a movie about dead people. Now, and I am happy. As much as I love Ryan Reynolds, I don't blame him for that shittiness that was Green Lantern.
Ugh.
And I love Green Lantern, too. That had the makings to be a great movie if they had a script and directors and people and producers that could have fucking said, let's do it right.
Right.
But you have to throw in this, you have to throw in that, pay homage to this, and it ultimately turned into a shit show. This is going to be even more of a shit show if it's not done right, because you're going to have multiple Green Lanterns, but...
As long as Guy Gardner has his fucking bowl cut, I'm good.
Guy Gardner has two rings right now.
Yeah, I know.
It's ridiculous.
Here's what I love. Like, if I was a director or writer or something of movies, I love just being meta and having those small Easter eggs. I would totally have... one of the lanterns or something sitting there watching a Ryan Reynolds movie of saying like, hey, you know, that kind of looks like Hale or something. Like, everyone would get the joke. Everyone would know the joke. It would be a fucking funny joke. But we don't have creative writers like me.
Yeah. any other movie news, guys? Since this is the all movie news edition... Apparently.
Nothing.
No?
No, not really. I mean, just Ant-Man's killing it.
It is. It was good. I enjoyed it.
And because of that, they have a lot of merchandise out for the movie, such as, like, hats and drink cups and, you know, shirts and little bobbleheads and a little ant farm.
Hmm. That sounds like something I want in my house.
this is how we get ants.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid wanting an ant farm and my mom saying, fuck no, and now understanding.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest toy ever.
Yes, you have a live colony of insects in your house. Yeah. They want nothing more than to eat whatever they can find and procreate.
And you're a kid who's prone to dropping shit and breaking stuff.
Right.
That is how you get ants.
Yeah.
I had one, and it got knocked over, and they all smothered and died.
See, wow, guys, Liz, she is...
Liz, how did you change your voice? You are really good at that ventriloquism.
She's real, you guys. I have friends.
That was a sad story.
It was a really sad story.
In my mind, I just thought that they would tunnel out.
Right.
And they didn't.
So don't shake an anthill like an Etch-a-Sketch? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, don't shake your ant colony. You can't erase them and start over. Michael Peña, by the way, was amazing in that movie. He was the best part of that movie, for sure. Paul Rudd did a pretty good job, but Michael Peña stole the show in that one.
I don't know. I'm hopefully seeing it today. Like, I would love to have seen it so I could spoil everything of how, you know, he created Ultron, really, and then Tony Stark came and stole the plans.
This isn't going to give anything away. There's a great little Tony, like a Stark dig that Hank Pym has in there.
I did hear, though, that there are two post-credit things to sit around and watch.
There are. The first one is, like, you know how they do, like, the splash credits that are all animated and stuff. So the first one's after that, and that one's good. The one that's at the very end is okay.
Oh, I heard differently. I heard that the last one was awesome.
Oh, well, I mean, it's the tone. Yeah, it does. I mean, but it was all right. There wasn't a whole lot to it, quite honestly.
One other thing, also looking at some of the still photos from the X-Men Apocalypse film is Quicksilver's alive, which is interesting since Marvel just killed him, but that he's alive in that universe. Which I honestly, as I said at the time of Age of Ultron, I felt like they did that to fuck with Fox. Like,
yeah, probably.
And as, I mean, since old Derek's not here to you know, negate what I'm saying, there is a feud. They are going at each other, and that was the main reason why that is. Another thing, too, is Mystique. She loves being in her natural body. She does, and this whole, all the trailers I've seen is Jennifer Lawrence being Jennifer Lawrence.
Right. Can't hide the moneymaker.
That's a thing that pisses me off about movies. When they're making the Deadpool movie, a lot of people were like, well, I mean, they won't get Ryan Reynolds because he's got such, you know, got such a good-looking face, and to hide it behind a mask or hide it behind, you know, ugly tumor face would be bad. And sometimes, yes, I understand you need to show that person's face, kind of like with Deadshot and having Will Smith character being around. But sometimes you just got to say, fuck it, it goes for the story. We know who that is.
I would hope that, I mean, that's their job. I would
My eyes are up here, yeah. Not down here.
Right.
That said,
right.
I think they could have uglied him up a little bit more when they showed his face in the leaked trailer.
I know, and that's why I'm hoping that maybe it will be. I mean, because he still looked pretty...
He was like lumpy Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah.
For Ryan Reynolds, that's pretty awful. So, everybody's sad that Constantine was canceled, right?
Yes. I was devastated.
It got nominated for an Emmy post-cancellation. There's a tease, Arrow's teasing that they're going to bring Constantine into their fold, which would be awesome. I hope that it's true. I hope that happens because Constantine was such a good show. I was so sad when it got Firefly'd. So,
well, that does make sense for Warner Brothers to bring in, if it failed it on its own, to help or have fans, you know, continue to say we still love this character, we're still doing stuff for them.
Right.
It's just not where you want it to be. So.
Yep.
He always has been good as a character at showing up in other, like, stories, though, so it kind of makes sense that they would do that. I mean, they can definitely fit him in that world. So.
Oh, for sure.
Weren't they going to make, like, Avengers Dark or whatever, Justice League Dark? I thought I heard, like, something about a movie, which would be why you'd want to have this property be around so that people know about who they are before going into it, but,
Maybe he can show up and be like a master about Lazarus pits. I mean, that seems to be the new thing in Arrow. Seems supernatural-ish.
Wait, what? Okay, I don't really watch Arrow. Like,
oh, yeah.
What?
They introduced the Lazarus pit in Arrow.
Okay.
You know what the Lazarus pit is, right?
Yeah, that's Batman thing, right?
Yeah.
So who's using it in Arrow?
Roz.
Yeah, Roz was the main villain.
Yeah.
In Arrow?
In last season, yeah.
Man, I was living under a rock. I didn't hear any of that stuff, and... Way to spoil it for me. I was going to watch it maybe sometime, not.
You should.
The length of time where spoilers are not okay has passed. Sorry. Yeah, I got nothing.
You got nothing
else? Unless we want to talk about Batman.
What about Batman?
In Justice League. So in the new issue, Justice League 42.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay,
that was actually one of the huge things I want to talk about, and I can't believe that blew my mind.
So Metron shows up, and all of his powers in his chair. I don't really know a whole lot about Metron, but...
You know what that chair is supposed to be, though, right? Well, actually, it's the original chair. You know who has a chair like that?
Who?
Thanos.
Okay.
Because Thanos was partly, you know, supposed to be Metron, and then they said, no, he's got to be Darkseid. So then he's Darkseid with Metron's chair. That's how you got Thanos. At least that's how legends go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But they rip him off his chair, and Batman sits in it. And apparently the chair will tell you the answer to any question you ask it. So he asks the chair who killed his parents, and the chair tells him it was Joe Chill, which is...
He knew.
Yeah, part. And then he asks them who the Joker...
Wait. First, though, I like that... I don't know how continuity-wise has been with New 52, but...
It's been the same for Joe Chill.
I thought I heard, though, that they were trying to change it, or they were trying to say Joker did it. I thought they... That, at least, though, is kind of cool that it establishes for the people that haven't...
Right.
They're trying to fuck around and say, oh, it was something else or a bigger plot. Like, or maybe that was on Gotham. There's something where I was either watching or reading lately where they were really trying to make it seem like it wasn't a random...
It's on Gotham. They're trying to tie it to, like, the families that run Gotham.
Yeah, and that's where it's just like, no, don't do that. Let it just be...
Random.
Something, tragic that happened that then brought... fucking kick-ass vigilante out and about. But the big question...
Who is Joker? What is his true identity? And while it does not answer it for us, you get the little shot of Batman going, no, that's not possible.
Yeah, and that's where...
So are we going to find out who the Joker is?
I don't know, but like... One of those things where you could have Batman interrogating someone and that person tells them a lie or tells them that, but he could still be shocked. This is like a fucking, like, you know, omnipotent chair. Like, it's not going to fucking lie to him. He now knows truly. And so whoever that name is...
They're fucked.
...is truly the Joker. And so I want to know, because people are kind of speculating, maybe it's, you know, Thomas Wayne, you know, or...
One of the many Robins, possibly.
But...
They always go back to Jason Todd.
Yeah.
Wow. Because Jason Todd, didn't he get fucking corrupted by Joker?
Yeah.
So therefore,
I don't know. Plus,
they did that in Batman Beyond also, where, like, Joker, after he was dead, there was, like, a chip in his head that turned Jason Todd into the Joker.
But see, though, would that mean then the original Joker's dead then?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, Jason Todd's not that old to be the original Joker who's been down there before he was born.
In Batman right now, like, Joker and Bruce Wayne, in theory, killed each other, but Bruce is still alive, spoiler, because he was in the last Batman issue.
Oh, that's the future Batman one, isn't it?
No, this is like regular Batman continuity. Like Batman and
is this with robot?
Chappie Batman.
Yes, Chappie. Yeah, Bruce and Joker killed each other essentially, and this is like a little bit later, like 6 months. Commissioner Gordon is police Batman.
Okay,
but Bruce Wayne, like, he finds him and goes to talk to him, and that was the last Batman issue because Bruce is like working in like a kid's like orphanage.
Well, that's it. That's all I got for news.
All right. Well, do you have anything for indie?
I do not. I think this is going to be an indie-free week. I mean, my book that I reviewed was indie, so there you go. I killed you.
It was something indie. Mine was IDW, so.
Two birds, one stone.
Yes. Okay. Then.
Sorry, guys. No indie this week.
Go pick out something independent. Read it.
Yep.
Good. All right. Well, then I guess we'll get into Booze in a Book, which I guess technically could have been indie, but I picked it up mainly for picking up something random, something different. I like to do that sometimes at comic book shops. I challenge everyone to do that, especially not of the big two books. Find something that just the cover looks awesome and truly judge it by the cover and say, hopefully this will be great, and jump in on it, and then hopefully it doesn't suck. Hopefully you're not confused, but that's the part where it kind of can come back and bite you in the ass, because number ones are great, because that's always a starting point. When you see it's start of a new arc, great. You may not know all these characters, but you can at least get into not in the middle of the story. I picked up Yusaki Yojimbo number 147. Now,
head on.
Part of only who I know this character was from being a kid and him having a crossover on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I had an action figure.
Yes.
Had that action figure. I had that action figure.
And knowing that he is a Ninja Rabbit. And for anyone that truly reads this, I am sorry that I'm not dissing this at all. I just was so fucking confused. Like, I did not know anything that was going on. I tried to come up with a way where I could review this, but it jumped right into this dialogue of this going on, and then some parchment treaty, and then some, you know.
And this was the number one you said?
No, this is 147. Oh. So this is just what came out this week.
Okay.
Something that I was going to maybe review for indie, but.
So you jumped in the middle of a storyline.
Yeah. And not having any really clue of this book at all, I just couldn't do it justice. So I read it at least, and it goes perfectly paired with, I got to get the beer name here. It is Cozy Yak State of Confusion Scottish Strong Ale.
That sounds...
Because I was confused as fuck reading this, and I was like, what could I drink right now that, you know, may or may not relieve my confusion? Well, alcohol will help that, so...
You drank till you couldn't feel feelings.
Yeah. Cozy Yak State of Confusion has nothing to do with the way the writing was or anything or the art. It's just that, like I said, sometimes when you pick up that random book, you're going to be like, what the fuck's going on? I don't know. Hey, but I still like the character. I've known of his stories. I just need to get on a new story arc where I can then understand who everyone is and what's going on.
So what was the name of the booze again? Cozy Shack?
Cozy Yak.
Cozy Yak.
That's the brewery.
Okay.
State of Confusion.
Do you know where that's out of?
That is out of Wisconsin.
Okay.
USA.
We'll have to hunt some of that down.
Yep.
It sounds fun. We'll
make a Wisconsin road trip, get some New Glarus, and some State of Confusion.
Yeah.
Right on.
Guys, read anything else this week that you might want to mention?
I got the third issue of Years of Future Past. It's going interestingly. You find out that both of the children that are the main characters in this book are the children of Kitty Pryde and Colossus.
You already knew that.
No. The boy, we thought the boy was the son of Wolverine.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So
yeah.
It just took a weird incestuous turn.
It did. They made a Star Wars reference. It was funny. and then I picked up Black Canary 2, which was still really good.
She's still a rocker.
Oh, my God. I love this book, you guys, so much. This has to be one of my favorite things that I've read lately. That's about it.
All right. Guardians of Nowhere. It's kind of cool to finally see my guardians in this battle world. And in Inhumans, Adelon Rising, following, Black Bolt and his, being able to talk, and then Astro City 25, which I love that city. That's another series where I feel like Valiant, it's same thing, like they, you know, their characters can live and die as they are.
That's a pretty
cover. Derek, you read.
I didn't read anything, but you threw me over Secret Wars Battle World, which I thumbed through. And these have been the three issues that I've seen. I read the first two. They've just been fun little like side stories going on throughout the whole Secret Wars and Battle World area. So they're cool to pick up. I mean, it's like little side stuff. Nothing like plot changing throughout the universe, but it's cool.
All right. Well, if that does it with books and everything we have this week. Next week is going to be hopefully interesting if things go to plan, because we will be on location at a bar, and we will be having some cool, awesome beers brewed for us
for sure.
We will get to try before the general public. So it may be more of a shit show than normal.
But we are drunk on comics, so maybe it's time to get a little drunk. Okay. Yeah.
We'll be drunk with the side of comics this time.
Yeah, instead of comics with the side of drunk.
All right, till next week, friends. We will be here drinking those beers, reading those comics, and reviewing them just for you.
Yay.